If you've got a little story you need to share, pull up a chair, he'll listen. Despite of the name and despite of the logo, there's definitely no knitting on this show. Called Good, Good Yarns.
G'day and welcome to another episode of Good Yarns, another season of Good Yarns. This is our third season. It's been a while. It's been over a year since we've put this podcast together, and to those that have been listening to it for a bit of time when it was on, I'm sorry it's been so long. But, you know, pandemics, all that kind of stuff, it's hard to get people to come and tell you some stories. But I am back. My name's Shad Wicker, for those that have not seen or heard the podcast before. And basically what it is I generally get a guest in every week to just come and tell me a crazy story or a fun, wild thing that happened to them, and we just shoot the shit for a bit. Generally goes for a little bit. Depends on what happens with the story. If you're looking for some past apps to get around, I suggest checking out going into a Bolivian prison. That was a friend of mine that I had on the podcast that needs to remain nameless. Or did I say his name? Maybe I didn't. There's a few great stories in there, including one that I've actually built my new stand-up show about as well, in terms of almost killing a backpacker in Colombia. So there's some highlights there if you can go through the past seasons. This season's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be a bit shorter, just a few stories to get through, but I also decided to get the recordings going a little bit earlier. I kind of hit record as soon as my guests came on. So a few of these episodes will also be accompanied by, like, I guess kind of like a bonus ep that's going to explore the banter side of this podcast more than just the story. So we'll have a guest on that'll tell a story, something crazy, something interesting from their life. But we'll also have moments with some guests where it's just us kicking back, talking about all sorts of crazy stuff, things like conspiracy theories, other things that are going on, depending. In fact, our guest this week, I have a great chat with him about a conspiracy theory that he's pretty into that we will get into a little bit later on. I'll drop it as a bonus episode as well for you. But to kick off this new season is a good friend of mine. He's a comedian, like a lot of my guests are. He's been doing a lot of great stuff since moving down to Sydney. His name's Sam Bowden. I suggest if you get a chance to catch him doing stand-up anywhere around the country, he tours a fair bit, make sure you go and catch him. And his story delves into the paranormal. Yeah, not usually what I'm into. Don't really believe in ghosts, but this guy definitely does. A weird little story of a haunted house. And as always, if you have a story that you would like to share on Good Yarns, hit me up at Good Yarns Pod or at Wicked Shad is my socials online. All the links are in the bio as well. So I'm keen to get some of your stories on too. So without wasting any more of your time, welcome to the new season of Good Yarns. And this is Sam Bowden with a little ghost story.
Okay, so I didn't know what story to tell, but I thought I'd tell you a ghost story that happened to me. So and I can't remember whether I've actually told you this personally. So
I would remember you trying to tell me a story about how you heard a rattle in the night that definitely wasn't a ghost, but anyway.
You wait till this story's finished. Because I'm not a ghost guy, right? I wasn't a ghost guy.
Right.
I was like, ghosts are stupid, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so me and my now former partner, Michelle, moved into this place in Sydney in Arncliffe, right next to Botany Bay. We moved into this turn of the century, I think it was built in 1897, property in Arncliffe that overlooked Botany Bay.
How much did that cost you?
It was actually relatively cheap. I think it was costing us $500 a week. And it was
It's $500 a week, but don't go out at 2 a.m.
Yeah, we were like, how much is the bond? They're like, you don't pay. With money. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, man, that real estate agent's fucked.
Yeah. And then we say that, and then the grocers next door are just like, that real estate agent's been closed for 20 years. No, okay, so we move into this place, and the thing about this, it was a mansion, right? It was fucking huge, but it had been subdivided 3 times. So you had half of the house over on one side, and then the floor above us was also its own apartment. So it was still, dude, it was still a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, biggest fucking kitchen and living room we've ever seen in your life. It was a massive, I can't even imagine how big the whole fucking house was, right? It was huge. So in the 70s, they'd subdivided the house and separated everything up. So we move in, we got all our shit in. It's me, Michelle, Bugle, the cat, Sherlock at the time. And underneath the house, because you could get underneath the house from the backyard, was where all the old foundations were, right? And so they had like what would have been like the wine cellar and how they would have heated the house with the pipes.
So you couldn't access the wine cellar?
No, you could. That's like...
Through under the house though. There wasn't a way into it from... Like they just built over the top.
They built over the top of a lot of the foundations, which becomes very important later on.
That's fascinating. Like what are you trying to hide?
Yeah, correct. Anyway, so when we came and inspected the place, I went down into the back of the cellar, which would have been a little, almost as high as this room, right? It was big. And there was like easily maybe 50, 60 kilos of illegal fireworks down there.
Sick.
Yeah. And then part of me was like, do I tell them? Do I not? No. Do I keep these? But I ended up being like, I'm going to tell them about the fireworks because I don't want to get pinged for them. And I don't want anyone coming back for them while I live here.
I can't go back to jail, man. Not for fireworks again.
I can't go back to jail, man. Not for fireworks.
I go back in there for fireworks again, oh, man.
The two police file photos they have on me in Queensland, I'm naked in both of them. One of them's in South Bank when I was filming a skit yelling at the ABC building for not hiring
what?
Me.
What?
Yeah, dude, no shit.
And the when is this? Where is this skit?
All right, so this... Oh, I've got
and
it on
got
my computer.
Arrested for being naked in South Bank?
I was told to put clothes on now or they take me in. So, and the police got called to UQ. Was it UQ, the one up in the city, or QT? QT, yeah, Gardens Point. Because I was doing the same thing in Gardens Point. And and then when they arrived at Gardens Point, I'd moved to South Bank. And then the ABC building called the police. Because I was outside in my underpants demanding a job. Throwing flyers at people going crazy. And I know that's the photo they have because the next time they caught me, I was also in my underpants, high on pingers at the top of a reservoir in Newmarket. Just with no clothes on 3 a.m, just with our friend Joel Spargo and a notable Australian comedian who will go unnamed. Anyway, so we moved in and the first night, very distinctly, we stayed and Michelle had woken up and she was like, and then the next morning she's like, were you hearing like this weird voice last night? I was like, no, I wasn't hearing any weird voice. Stop being crazy. And so we started to have this fun thing where there was something in the house that made you feel like you were never alone. And then suddenly our TV would start turning on.
In a creepy way, never
no,
alone?
No, not like, not at warm. That point. It was just a thing. You were never alone in that house. And all of a sudden, like our Netflix, and this might not be related, but our Netflix kept making Japanese subtitles when we weren't doing them. The QP mayo kept finding its way out of the fridge. So we had this really fun thing, like we have a Japanese ghost called Takeshi.
Maybe it's the Japanese man that was in the submarine that was found in the harbor.
There you go.
Maybe it's that guy.
Yes. He came in 1945 and he was just like, sugoi. So for a long time, it was like, the house is haunted. This is fun. And then it started, the longer we stayed there, it started to kind of weirdly escalate, right? And so one night, Michelle's out at a gig and I'm by myself. And I'm playing PlayStation. I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima because I'm like, oh yeah, Takeshi will love to watch
like
this. Yeah. And then I'm playing PlayStation and where I face the TV on the left is the kitchen, which is huge. And then the hallway and then the bedroom and the hallway goes opposite to the kitchen into the bathroom and the laundry, right? And so I'm playing PlayStation and then there's someone standing in the hallway. And I'm like, oh, it's Michelle's here. Michelle must have just gotten out of the shower. And then I'm playing and then it takes a step forward. I can see it out of my peripherals. And I'm like, hold on, Michelle's at a fucking gig. There's someone in my fucking hallway. And I sort of just did this with my head to make sure that it wasn't a smudge on my glass. I didn't look at it and it just stayed there. And I was like, fuck. And I turn and I really quickly look and it disappears. And I look at Bugle.
Like there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
Okay.
So, and again, very explainable, right? So I'm like, fuck, that was really weird. And Bugle ears up staring into the hallway. So I'm like, okay. That was odd. Michelle comes home and I'm like, I think I saw Takeshi this evening. Like, I think he was standing in the hallway. It was fucking weird. But the whole time I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Anyway, so a couple of weeks go by. We're all in bed, right? It's me, Michelle, the cat, and the dog. All four of us just in the bed. And all of us get woken up all at the same time by this noise that literally goes... Ooh. And it was fucking terrible. I'm up, the dog's growling, the cat's awake. And it was like fucking, it was like it was in the room. And I just hear Michelle go, "Did you just hear that?" And I'm like, "What the fuck was that?" Sounded like almost like a little girl's voice.
Right.
And I was like, "I don't know what the fuck that was. Holy shit."
Ooh,
oh yeah, wow. That's kind of what it was. And like there's the house next to us was ages away. We never used to hear from
maybe
them.
Maybe Takeshi's gay.
Maybe Takeshi's gay.
Like, woo.
Ooh, I love what you've done with the drapes. And it was fucking, it was really weird and intense. And the pets heard it. I'm like, fuck. We're thinking about it. I was like, oh, who knows? Whatever. Anyway, a little while later.
You didn't get out of the like bed to look around or anything?
No. Because this was the first time we'd all shared something. And so we're like, surely there's a rational explanation.
So all
for
the
this.
Other things, the little seeing him in the hallway.
Yep.
Was the first time you had had like a moment of, oh, I think I've seen something.
Nothing felt threatening yet.
But like, but everything else had been, what were the other things? Just the feeling someone was there.
The feeling you're always being watched. The feeling that you sort of, you could never get comfortable. Saw him in the hallway and now we're having shared experiences, right?
But other people live in the house.
No. People live upstairs.
Yeah, but like they're moving around.
And he, yeah. But this, the sound is very different.
Okay.
So where our bedroom was, above them was where their demountable balcony was. And so when they were on the balcony, you knew about it. You could hear him stepping around. But the sound, because the walls were so heavy and blocked up, it was very hard to hear anything from upstairs, right? And Juan was his name. He was a Colombian dude. Juan always looked like he had never gotten any sleep. He was always stressed. He hated talking. He was my memory of him is red, sweaty, and stressed.
Yeah, because he was up all night being like, ooh.
Sneaking downstairs, taking the mayo out of the fridge, and just running back upstairs. Anyway, so a couple of nights later, the same thing happens, but it's like the sound of a violin, and it's right in our ears. Like, that. This was the weirdest part about it. It was like this violin. It was like... But same deal. I was like, Michelle, did you hear that? She goes, yeah, I fucking heard that. That sounds like it's above our heads. Like, right here. It was so loud. And there's nothing around. We don't have any speakers on. It's fucking 3 a.m. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? That's twice now. Oh, well. So then...
It's such... You're talking like the... beginning of every horror movie.
Yes.
Where you are just like, oh well. And the person watching the show is like, get the fuck out of the house.
Yes, exactly. But this is why it felt like a fucking, now retrospectively, it feels like a horror movie. Because I'm not a ghost guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, there is a rational explanation for all of this.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm also like, I've the same. I'm like, there's some kind of,
just wait.
Okay.
So at this point, we're telling everyone. We're like, dude, there's a ghost haunted. We're like a little girl's voice. It's crazy. We're going to live in a fucking haunted house. Turn of the century. Ah, nuts. And then we'd been living in the house about 7-8 months. And the vibe in the house had changed. And Michelle and I were going through a little bit of a rough patch. But we started noticing this weird thing. That when we were out of the house or we were staying somewhere else, like we'd go on holidays, we'd have the best fucking time. Like, we'd have a really good time. The moment we get into that house, something would snap. Like, it would just be like, it was like a cloud, right? We couldn't really recognize it.
This is like the storyline of Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
What you're pitching to me right now.
Anyway, so one night I'm lying in bed and I wake up. I'm like, fuck, do I go to the bathroom? I need to go to the bathroom. I look into the hallway and there is a set of eyes staring at me. In the darkness, there's a set of yellow eyes. And then this huge Cheshire Cat-like smile breaks out underneath the eyes.
Fuck off.
No, I'm so serious. And if you don't believe me, you can call Michelle because I fucking woke her up. Because I'm staring at it and I'm like, there's a face in the fucking hallway. And it's smiling at me. And then I go to move my head and the face doesn't move. And it kind of, like the eyes wink. I'm like, there's a face in the fucking hallway. It looked terrifying. It didn't feel terrifying. You know that separation where it's like I'm describing to you and it sounds really scary, but it actually wasn't scary. It was a thing that was happening.
Was it like a happy smile? Like, was the smile like, oh, what's up?
It was kind of menacing, but the vibe wasn't threatening.
So it wasn't evil. It was more just like Loki-esque.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
mischievous.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, yes, yeah.
Like, I'm messing with you, bruh.
Yeah.
And then a wink, and then I'm going, bye.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm like, the smile in the middle of my head, I'm like, I'm going to get up and check out what the fuck this smile is. So I sit up, eyes closed, mouth closed, is gone. So I go to find the smile, and as I get up...
You're a fucking lunatic. This is a horror movie. You're not doing the right moves right now.
It gets better.
You're supposed to get the fuck out of the house.
Anyway, but this is the thing. It didn't feel unsafe. It didn't feel bad.
This is the narrative where it's going to possess you because you're too nice to it.
Okay. So I tell Michelle, I'm like, you won't believe it. I saw her face last night. It was fucking insane. It's crazy. All while this is happening... Every now and then, the dog would just bark into the hallway. Like, just bark into the hallway. It was fucking peculiar. And we were like, yeah, I don't know. It's probably Takeshi. Who cares? Fast forward a little while now. I had, like, a mini stroke. So I was like, I'm going to get my brain checked out. Because maybe I'm hallucinating. Because Michelle, at this point, hadn't seen anything.
She hadn't seen the Cheshire smile.
She hadn't seen the Cheshire smile.
Right.
And so I'm like, got my brain checked out. Everything's looking okay. They were like, yeah, you're... Everything is working. You probably have like a migraine condition. You probably have really, you can have a type of migraine that causes you to hallucinate, but at the same time, it's probably not that. The medication's not worth the side effects. Also,
you're talking to the doctor about the ghost.
Yep. And then she's like,
what was her reaction to the ghost?
Well, she got really curious. She's like, so you're seeing someone? I was like, no, it's kind of like a floating smile. And she's like, are you schizophrenic? I'm like, the smile told me no. And so, yeah, she's like, your brain's looking fine. Like, the part of the brain that makes you sick kind of still functioning. Everything's cool. And so, okay, cool. So it's not the brain. And we're going to get a black mold specialist in. Because, like, maybe we're hallucinating because of the black mold.
Well, is there black mold in the house?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, that is a big part of the story that's been missing.
Well, so one night, Michelle and I are in the living room. And we're having a little bit of a tiff, right? We're just having a tiff. And it's sort of, the tiff just settles down for a second and it starts to get resolved. I'm like, okay, cool. Sweet. I am facing the kitchen and you can see the hallway from the kitchen. And then all of a sudden, there's like a movement that catches my eye. And I look over into the hallway and there is like this odd, I know this sounds ridiculous, by the way, but I was standing by this. I can see you grinning through your fingers. this sort of like weird, sort of like ephemeral cloud sort of like half drifts into, like, that's what catches my eye and I look.
Like smoke?
Almost, yeah, like a deep purpley smoke thing, mm-hmm. But it's not particularly vibrant, but it's enough movement for me to just be like, what's that? And then as I see it, that Cheshire smile comes up from the smoke and then disappears. It all happens in about 2 seconds. And it hit me with such an incredible fucking ferocity. It was like, we need to get the fuck out of this house right now.
This one was
fearful. Dude, terrifying.
So the other one was, oh, how funny.
Dude, I started fucking crying. Like, it was like it hit me out of nowhere. And then I freaked out. Like, I ran to the hallway and I went insane. And Michelle will attest to this. All our windows were closed. The hallway, fucking freezing. Freezing cold. Mm. It was so odd.
Is that a ghost thing?
Yes.
Okay, right.
But again, I didn't know any of this because I didn't fucking believe in any
ghost stories in like bottle shop cool rooms.
They're just the ghosts of dreams that have been drunk away. There's no actual
ghosts
cooling.
Ghosts of families lost.
Yeah. Every time someone puts in like a fucking Han Premium Light. I'm like, ugh.
Ooh.
Han Premium Light. Oh, this is the ghost of a good evening. Fuck. Anyway, so there's another weird thing that happens where as I'm walking back, I feel something sort of wrap around my ankle. It gets really cold around
when
my ankle.
When you're trying to leave the house.
As I'm walking out back out the hallway, there's like something wraps around my fucking ankle and I can't shake it. And then the way I would explain it, and I don't tend to say this part because it sounds super insane. The way I would explain it, it suddenly felt like something had pushed its way into my head. Like something had done this inside my head.
Mm.
Like squished its way in.
It seems like the mini stroke again.
Correct. And this is where it's getting weird. The mini strike, everything shut down. Like I couldn't function. Like I couldn't move. I couldn't see. I couldn't speak.
Fuck.
But this just sort of squished its way into my head. And then now all of a sudden, I wasn't fucking alone in my head. And I was freaking. I was like, I'm not alone. There's something in my head. And
fucking hell. What a traumatic moment.
Oh, dude. I was losing my mind. And I'm like, we're going. I'm paying for us to stay in a hotel. We need to fucking leave this place right now. So we grab our shit. We see the cat and the dog. We're like, nice knowing you.
Then it's like, fuck, man.
We are out of here. We go to a hotel in Bondi. We stay the night. Michelle, who's been doing a little bit of reading up, has got like a sage stick. And so she sages me on the beach and she sages herself.
On the beach?
Yeah.
Where the ghosts can't get you.
Where the ghosts can't get me.
Except the ghosts of the sea. No. You don't want to hear about those.
The ghosts of the sea. Yeah, you know, somewhere Poseidon was shaking. He was like, someone's saging on the beach.
Bring that Cheshire cat over here, man.
Jesus. Anyway, so I will admit, I felt a little bit better after that, but I was very unsettling. The next morning, we were really cautious coming back to the house. We were really fucking weird. It was daytime, and it was just like, fuck, I think we need to move. And Michelle was like, before we move, we're going to sage the whole house, the whole fucking house. So like, all right. So we took all the fire alarms out. We got like two sage bundles, made the house fucking stink. Mm. We saged the whole place. And Michelle was like, I'm going to go sage underneath the house. So she comes back up and she goes, you need to come down to the basement. I'm like, okay. So come down. She goes, look at this.
Why the fuck would she take you to the basement? It's just horror movies, boys. Well, what the fuck?
Where the hallway is, which is where I keep seeing this thing and where it was really cold, the hallway was where they boarded up the old staircase. And she was explaining to me how when you close passageways, when there are entities still in the house, entities get trapped in the passageway because they get lost. They don't know where to go.
Like ghosts.
Yes. Yeah. Now, again, this is all theoretical, right? All I'm saying is all of this is starting to add up. And this is
so she's gone through her research.
Yes.
That, hey, because they've boarded up the stairs.
Yes.
And the wine cellar's here underneath the hallway. The ghost is like, I need to get the fuck out of the wine cellar, guys. And you've locked me in the wine cellar.
Well, no, you've locked me. I can't get down.
Like, I want to get into the wine cellar.
Yeah. I want to fuck
That's
a
why
beer.
I'm grinning so cheekily. I'm pissed. I'm blind. I need another wine.
So Michelle ends up contacting the Arncliffe Historical Society to start looking up the history of the house.
Oh, no, dude. What are you doing?
Well, see, this is where it gets weird. House had a fucking illustrious history of bad people who did bad things. And in the 70s, just before they rebuilt the house, a woman died in a house fire there. So it was a house fire on the top.
What are some of the highlights of the bad things that these people
did? So the road we were on, I can't remember what it's called. It's just off the Prince's Highway. The guy that owned the house that we lived in used to own that road. And he used to tax people and whatnot. And he was a local fucking small council scumbag. And he disappeared. And then the people that moved in after them, something else happened. And then 3 people later, this woman died in a fire there. And the tenants before us were there for 2.5 years, a full family of 4, and they left without warning. They packed up everything and they just left. They paid out the rest of their lease and they're like, we have to leave.
Ooh.
Anyway, so we've saged the house. And
you found the cellar. And you found out that the blocked off cellar could potentially be an issue because this ghosts.
Yes.
The big smiley ghost wants to get down to the wine.
Mm-hmm. So he's just a pisshead who just happens to want his privacy.
Might explain why the feelings at the beginning were like jovial and fine.
Yes.
But then gradually got more aggro.
That's such a good point.
He couldn't get his booze. He's getting more and more like, what the hell, man?
Fucking itchy. So 2 days pass, the house actually feels really light. It's like, oh, the sage thing kind of maybe worked. Michelle made a bunch of delightful cinnamon scrolls. She's an exceptional baker. And we were having a really nice time. It's like something that actually, like a fog had cleared. So
fog with a big smile.
Fog with a big smile. So Friday night was when we saged the house. Sunday evening comes around. Michelle is doing some work on her paintings in the study, right? And I go take her a cinnamon scroll. And I drop the cinnamon scroll in. And then I get hit with this weird chill. And I'm like, oh, shit.
It's back.
It's fucking back. And before I can say that, the fucking study light goes bananas. Like, just on, off, 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 on, on, off, 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 on, on, off. I'm like, it's fucking back. It's back. I can feel it. Like, it's fucking here. And then that night, we stayed at another hotel, and we organized how we were going to get out of our lease. Well, and we'd signed a new lease a month and a half beforehand.
Oh, fuck.
Because we were like, all right, look, this is it. Because it hadn't gone that south yet. And we're like, well, we're comfortable here. Moving's a hassle. And so then the next day, we went into our real estate agents, broke lease, and got laughed the fuck out of that place.
Because you said it was haunted.
Yeah, we're like, there's a fucking ghost there, dude. There's a ghost. And one of the real estate agents had to leave the room. And because the whole time I'm like, I know how this sounds. Anyway. We know.
Okay, on the real estate agent just leaves the room because he's laughing.
He's laughing too hard. The other real estate agent was like, I'm really sorry for chuckling. And we're like, dude, this sounds insane. We know. We're not blaming you. And he's like, look.
The funniest thing is just how does this happen twice?
Yes. Yes.
Is that literally what he said?
Because he's like, and he's like, look, I'll level with you. Obviously, I've never seen anything. It's my job to sell the property. But I will admit, the last tenants disappeared out of nowhere with no explanation and kind of really screwed us. And they didn't talk to us about it. They just paid their lease out and left. So there's certainly something going on. But we really appreciate your honesty. Look, we'll see if we can get you out of this lease ASAP. And we were, the whole thing was done in about 5 days. Lease was broken. We paid it out. We got a cleaner in. We moved all our shit. We found a new place in 5 days. And the moment we found the new place, it was the weirdest thing. It was like we completely forgot we even lived there. And everything started turning around. And it took the housewarming podcast to contact Michelle to be like, do you want to come on and talk about this? And she was like, well, Sam was kind of the one that saw it. And Sam had a lot more experiences with it. I'll ask him if I can, but I don't really want to. And then she said that. She was like, the housewarming. And I was like, oh my God, we lived at Arncliffe. And she was like, I have next to no memory of it. And I was like, I'd completely forgotten. Like, it was like this whole thing. It was like this weird pocket in time where the moment we left the house, everything, it was like it was a completely different thing and we were completely different people. And then the relationship ended up breaking down because the fucking second lockdown was stressful and we had a couple of problems. Inherent incompatibilities. And I also wouldn't stop doing a Christopher Walken impression.
That's what's listed.
Yeah. She'll say that there was some damage done at the start of the relationship that was slightly irreparable. I would say it's because I'd always just be like, no. When's dinner? I'm hungry.
So you never.
Why are you crying?
Man, that's crazy. So, yeah, so you left, man. Whoa, it is a bit spooky.
Yeah.
Do you, in your heart of hearts, think it was a ghost or maybe a little bit more of a stroke?
No. This was too consistent and the vibe was too overwhelming because I forgot to add, when we did get the black mold guy in, he comes in and he walks in and goes, oh, yeah, this is an old property. Yeah, you might have something. He looks at some of the black mold and he goes, yeah, this is enough, but it's certainly not a toxic amount. And we go, so would it be enough to like maybe make us hallucinate? And he goes, no, nowhere close. Are you guys hallucinating? We go, and he goes, your house is haunted.
Yeah. The mold guy?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like,
I've seen this before. Cause
oh, yeah.
As you know, when you work in mold, you know, when you rock up to a job, you know if it's mold or if it's ghost. That's what we know.
Yeah. That's literally what happened. We're like, what? And he goes, yeah, look, honestly, there's probably something in here.
He goes back to the office. They're like, fuck, what happened with the job? Did you billing us? It was fucking ghosts again.
It's a fucking ghost, man.
I wasn't making any money when all these ghosts keep haunting places. No one's getting mold.
Fuck.
I don't know.
Yeah. So look, you don't have to know. All I know after that is, oh yeah, I'm not sure if this adds anything, but the night that the big one happened, where I saw him in the hallway, I get a phone call from my mom the next morning. She calls and was like, honey, was everything all right last night? And I'm like, what? She goes, I don't know. I woke up at about 9:30 and I had this huge panic about you. And I don't know why. And I woke Brian up and we prayed for you. And I haven't had that urge.
They pray kind of.
Yeah. My mum's very religious, but very much a personal God religious, like devoutly Christian, but not pushy or shit. And she's like, I had this thing, something hit me, it woke me up. And I was like, I just felt that you were in trouble. And then I had to explain what happened. Again, I'm not bullshitting.
And this was when the scary Cheshire face happened?
Yes, this was the big one.
The big one with the smoky mist and you're like, let's get the fuck out of the house?
Yep, and she said 9:30 and 9:30
was... Maybe that's why it disappeared.
Maybe.
God came down.
God came down.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I tell you one thing. That whole experience has really punctured a hole in my atheist, there is no spirituality thing. It's really warped that a little. Where I'm like, maybe there's something else going on here. I don't know. I wasn't a ghost guy. Now, I don't know. Now, when people talk about ghosts, I'm like, I kind of believe you.
I'd love to be able to see what you saw. Like, I want to know what the Cheshire cat smile looked like. Because I'm picturing the Johnny Depp, Alice in Wonderland.
Similar, not smile. Quite as exaggerated.
Kind of like with the Goldbergs, Cheshire Jack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was weird. I should have told you. Then the Cheshire Cat was like, the Holocaust wasn't about race. And I was like, who's this crazy ghost?
There you go. Sam Bowden with a spooky tale to kick off the new season of Good Yarns. Hopefully you enjoy the kickoff of the new ones. I've got some great guests coming up. Alex Milinkovic, another comedian. Bron Lewis, the winner of the Raw Comedy competition here in Australia. If you want to check that out, it's going to be a great chat as well. We'll be back with a new episode next week in your feeds. Make sure if you love it, tell your mates, share it around. And some more banter coming your way. If you want to see me live as well, I'll be doing some shows around Australia, kicking off in the new year, but also monthly shows and a lot of gigs, actually, around the Queensland area as well. You can check it out on the socials. In the meantime, have a good one. We'll see you at the next ep.